Ready? I'd like to call this regular meeting of the SEPA Board, September 6, 2019, to order. We are in Petersburg and the hour is 1 o'clock. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Amelon?
Here.
Donato? Severson?
Present.
Davies?
Here.
Coos? Skilling? Lynn?
Here.
Larson?
Here.
Priceanka? Von Bargen?
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we go on to the next item of business, I'd like to make sure and take the opportunity to introduce Jack Davies from Ketchikan. He's an alternate on the board. And Jack has been a longtime businessman in Ketchikan, worked in the insurance industry, very well respected in the community, and been involved in a lot of different things. So, Jack, is there anything you'd like to?
Oh, thank you. And I'm sorry I missed the meeting in Wrangell. I was not feeling well that day. And happy to be here and happy to meet all of you guys for the first time, some of you for the first time. Thank you very much, Bob.
Thank you, Jack. That brings us to item 1B, communications laid on the table. We have two. One is in regard to item 7B. They didn't have all the information at the time it was printed, so there is some of the information from the bid on that. And the other item is a correction to page 63. The total $472,639 is correct on the handout. It's an error in the packet. So that also links down to now item C, closure of conflicts of interest. Does anybody present today have any conflicts to declare?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
We have one item on the agenda today that deals with safety training.
Okay.
And Ed Schofield will have a conflict on that particular issue.
All right. Thank you very much. That's duly noted. Hearing none, we'll move on again after that to approval of the agenda. So it's the agenda for September 26th and 27th. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda as presented and, I guess, corrected with the lay on the table? Do I have a motion?
Yeah. I'll move to approve the agenda with the proposed changes you was spoken to.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Amelon?
Yes.
Severson?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Priceanka?
Want me to answer that instead?
Yes. I'm sorry. Von Bargen?
Yes.
Apologies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That'll move us on to item 3, persons to be heard. Is there anybody to be heard from the public today? Is there anybody online? Do we have anybody online calling in? Apparently not. We have no nobody in the audience to speak. Brings us down to review and approval of minutes. Item A is June 19th through 20th, regular board meeting. And we can do that one first, or we can do them both collectively. Item B would be the June 27th special board meeting. So I have a motion to approve minutes.
Mr. Chair, I'll move that we approve the June 19th, 20th, 2019 minutes of the regular board meeting.
Second.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Von Bargen?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Severson?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Thank you.
And that was both of them?
Yep. That was one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mr. Chair, I'll move to approve the June 27, 2019 minutes of the special board meeting.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Lynn?
Yes.
Von Bargen?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Severson?
Yeah.
Thank you.
That brings us to item five, financial report. CEO financial cover memo and report go. Trey?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just give you a little brief here, and then we'll get into the financial portion. Cover just some highlights in my cover letter, and just for the purpose of reading this into the record a little bit. SEPA's financial position remains stable. I'll highlight that we haven't had to tap into our rate stabilization fund yet, which is nice. That means we have a little extra reserve out there if we should have a prolonged drought period for another year or so. It's just important to highlight that we did not make the typical levelized annual contribution to the dedicated R&R fund that we typically do following the June meeting and at the beginning of July. So we'll just want to keep that in mind as we roll forward. As I mentioned back in at our June meeting, I'll be making a recommendation to the board in conjunction with rolling out our full calendar year-based budget in December. I'll say July and August were pretty dry, as expected, and sales continue to be well below average. The positive news at this time is there appears to be a little bit of a shift in the weather, and staff will talk about that quite a bit more in their updates on our ops plan and how we're doing to date. So, but I think that's all good, and it should be hopefully bolster revenues for the remainder of the year. At this point in time, we're able to make deliveries to all three member utilities as needed, and hopefully that will continue. I'll get into some of these other items as we thumb through the financials a little bit later. Back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any questions or comments in regards to the cover letter and in regards to the CEO's report? So it brings us on down into the financials. We're going into item B, the controller's memo. And there is a, in the memo, there's a motion to be made first. Begin that. That is on page 19.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move to accept disbursements for June, July, and August 2019, totaling $3,688,492.74, and financial statements for June through August 2019 as presented.
Second.
Thank you, Buff. Thank you, Carl. Trey?
Certainly, Mr. Chair, thank you. I will circle back just for a second and talk about something that's probably not going to be covered in the financials, and I just wanted to add that I did provide some information in the packet under behind my CEO cover that talks about investment strategy review. I did talk to Bill Learman with Alaska Permanent Capital Management and reviewed some options. I like to do this periodically to see, are we doing the appropriate thing with our money? Are we following our policy? Obviously, we check that continuously, but also looking for opportunities in the marketplace to make our cash work for us that's sitting there. So I did include that report for the board, and I won't go into great detail on that. Just wanted to note that, at this time, interest rates are really depressed, bond rates are not good, and we've got some inverted issues in those markets. So at this time, I'm just recommending we don't make any changes. Mr. Learman in his report did offer a couple of areas that we could make some small changes, but we would be potentially having to modify our current policy and potentially take on a little bit more risk for very little return. So at this point in time, I'm just saying that we hold fast there. And if the board wants to go a different direction, happy to entertain some discussion on that. But sorry to digress there a little bit, Mr. Chair, but I thought that was an important thing to slip in there. So moving forward, as you can see, I'll take you to page 20. We've got a summarization of disbursements, and for the most part, this is kind of just a quick snapshot to see, you know, what kind of progress are we making on some of our R&R projects. You can see the rate of expenditures and the activities going on. I will note this, I expect this to jump up considerably for this month when we get there, because we just got out of our maintenance, annual maintenance overhaul. And there was a lot of work going on, which staff will update the board on that a little bit later. So behind that, starting on page 21 of your board packets.
Trey, before you move on item 20, you see that we have a new generation fund, and you did put a little bit of money in that. How do you, I guess, come up with whatever the number you're going to put into that at a particular given time?
So the new generation fund, the way that was originally funded is when we reduced our self-insured risk fund from $10 million to $8 million, and we took those funds and moved it over into the new gen fund. That was when we started kind of actively looking for new hydro sites and such. And so right now we've used a little of that money. We used some of it when we went and looked at geothermal and did our Bell Island. We did our initial surface investigation there. And you know, we'll use a little bit of that along the way for like wind sites and things like that. And so we're not dipping into that on a regular basis for the most part. But at times there might be some things. Let's just say with the current hydro site investigation process that we're doing now that may not be appropriate to charge to the state grant, and those might shift over to that particular column. So right now we're not putting any new funds in there. That just still has the original seed money in there from our original investment in that fund.
Thank you. Bob?
Yeah, are we required, I know that was moved over, are we required to keep some amount into that account?
Not in the new generation fund. So the self-insured risk fund, that's I'll say that total set by the board for the most part, and where that number evolves out of is our every five years we do a review of the 4R plan, risk, renewal, and reserves and such like that. So but that'll be coming up here I believe in 2021. We'll be reviewing that again. And so when we moved that from 10 down to 8, a lot of that had to do with the replacement cost at the time. There's two big drivers for that number, first of all. One is the replacement of the submarine cables, and the other one is the insurance deductibles. And curiously, in the past, insurance deductibles have actually been the higher of the two from that perspective. And so looking at where we're at today, over time, we've been able to lower our insurance deductibles over the last few years. But unfortunately, the cost of submarine cable replacement has actually gone back and increased again. So at some point in time, we may look at additional funding for the self-insured risk fund. Maybe we put that back up to 10 as revenues permit.
Thank you.
Yep.
So Trey, in regards to the submarine cable, you're talking about planned replacement in regards to maintenance services. We have insurance in regards to catastrophic failure or?
Currently we have $5 million for, I'll say, a single event type of a failure. And hopefully we can maintain that. We are going to be able to maintain that in this next insurance cycle that we're working on right now. So there's, you know, that could go away anytime. They may just say we're not doing that anymore because we were very fortunate to get it in the first place, I thought. So we'll just have to see on that one. But the original number for the submarine replacement was like what would the cost be to replace a one crossing, you know, if we had one fail. So we do have some coverage now, but you know that's a bit subjective to how the failure occurs. You know, if we go in there and inspected it and saw that we had an imminent failure, well, we're going to launch and go for replacement right away. We're not going to wait for it to fail. So that would be on us. Unfortunately, insurance typically doesn't cover something that's a known event that's going to happen.
Bob?
Does that go back to the question that Bob asked? Does the amount that we would get on that be reduced by the age of that cable? In other words, should that...
Are they going to depreciate it,
yes,
give you the depreciated replacement? My understanding is we should be able to get the $5 million replacement to toward a new cable replacement.
Thank you.
Yes, go.
Just a couple thoughts on this. Is the insurance won't cover ordinary wear and tear. So
nope.
The cable frays over use, or it's just if a ship goes by with an anchor and rips it, so in the event of an accident. That's the coverage, right?
That's the primary coverage, but I could, you know, we could probably also include, say, some seismic event that maybe caused liquefaction in the seabed and migrated our cables downstream and damaged them permanently and took them out. I think you would have a good argument for recovery,
okay,
which is probably one of our highest risk areas right now. Yeah.
And this is just for starting, because it's not going to cover the cost of replacement.
Well, it not the $5 million, that
no,
won't cover it all, but that was the maximum they provided, and we said, yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah.
And
that,
you know, and then I guess I'll just add on top of that a little bit, just to give a little greater context to that potential loss, is that just recognize when that occurs, if it occurs, then you won't have any revenue coming from that end of your system as well. So it's kind of a double whammy. You're going to have the cost of replacement. You're also going to have a significant loss of revenue while you're mobilizing, getting the cable, and getting it installed. So, and, you know, of course, we want to try to expedite that as fast as we can, because the northern communities, depending on where the cable might have an interruption, you know, they'd be on diesel till you could do that. So.
Thank you.
Sure. Well, so moving on page 21, it's just a list of the disbursements. And as you guys will see, we've typically tried to take anything that kind of approaches or exceeds the threshold of about $50,000, and then we'll annotate that over to the side to give you an idea what that might what might be, just in case you're not familiar with the particular vendor that was listed. And as you run down here, it's stuff that everybody's real familiar with. You know, turbine shutoff valves, storage structures, diesel reimbursements, guy thimbles, FERC admin fees, submarine cable ROV, employee benefits, more diesel reimbursement, and a couple of other governor pressure relief systems and some bond payments. So those are really the big ticket items. And certainly, as always, if you have any question on any of these, we're happy to dig a little deeper and give you whatever information you might need. Any questions on disbursement? Okay, moving right along. Direct you to page 23 of your board packet. And so, I guess I'll just preface a little bit as we go through the financials. They're going to look a little bit different, right, because we're on the six-month cycle, kind of an interim, and trying to compare year over year and some other aspects. We tried to put it as best we could in a format that made sense for the board. So if you have a question or something, stop me somewhere, and we'll try to answer whatever you may have. But for the most part, similar format, but there are a little bit we've adjusted for the six-month interval. So as you can see on page 23 at the top, the total hydropower sales for July through December, and obviously that just includes July through August, we're pretty spot on our budget. I mean, obviously it's really low, which I'll show you here in a minute, but we're tracking the budget. in what we forecasted, so. And that's depicted as well on page 25. You can see the white line there is actually the six-month budget, and the actuals are in the bar graph. Moving along to page 26. This is our typical fund allocation graph. Shows you where our larger funds of money are at and how much they are. You know, I'll note that, you know, our revenue fund, we've been watching that very closely because there's not a lot of money in there. And Kay and I have been a little bit nervous just watching that to see how cash flows and stuff melt with that. And so far that we've been able to manage that effectively, and it hasn't been a problem. But that's fairly low historically. And for those of you who may not be familiar, there's a good description down at the bottom that talks about each one of those funds and what it means. On page 27, I'll draw your attention to the third set of boxes, the firm KWH sales year over year down the page. And this tells the story for July and August compared year over year. And it's pretty significant. You can see, you know, 19 million KWH compared to 29, almost 30 the previous year. So no surprise to anybody there. Sales were very weak because we suspended sales out of Taiyi. So moving along, you can see our current assets are down a little bit on page 28. On page 29, if you look at the total at the bottom for total liabilities and net position, I'll say the probably the most significant portion of that differential there is due to accumulated depreciation, which is reflected. About $5 million difference year over year, and that's reflected on the third line at the top of the page under accumulated depreciation. So it's quite a big swing there, but it's due to depreciation. And if you move on to page 30, and stop me here anywhere if you have any questions. This one's, the layout's a little bit different, and so we tried to capture what we thought would be important and gonna show to the board. If you go down, you can see total operating income about a third of the way down there, and you can see the year over year explanation there, and then at the very bottom you can see the net operating income so far for July, August is at least we're in the black, let's put it that way. That'd be 457,718. Moving on to page 31. You can see also there just kind of broken down per month with the depreciation, the expense under 953,000, about two-thirds of the way down there. You know, it's about 400,000 per month. So moving on to page 32, the August R&R. This is kind of a snapshot, shows you where we're at on expenditure so far in this six-month budget cycle. And the total budget for that period is 1.8 and change. And expenditures for the first couple of months were 166,745. And as I mentioned earlier, we expect that'll have quite a big jump when we get through with the next set of financials for September, especially with all the activities that were going on.
So, Cray, in that 219 six-month budget, you have a number of projects budgeted, and given our current revenues, are you seeing having to put those off to next year, maybe, some of them?
So, no.
Okay.
And the reason being is that we forward fund those projects through the dedicated R&R fund, and we're still fairly well funded in that.
Okay.
So I think we're able to maintain continuity with our projects at this time. Now, if you know, revenues were to dive off for consistently for another year or two, and we didn't make additional dedicated payments into that fund, then yeah, we'd be looking at if we had to ratchet something back. But at this time, I'm not seeing that. I think we're okay. We've got enough in there to certainly support all the projects we've got in front of the board, plus quite a few above that. So
okay.
Good question. Thank you. So cruising along, and we'll give updates on all these R&Rs here and how we're doing. Staff's got some great reports and pictures on the stuff that we've accomplished during September, and we're making really good progress. Things are, you know, we're hitting on all cylinders right now. I think the team's just been performing spectacularly. And everything's getting lined up and getting done, which is fantastic. So that takes us into the June financials. And since this is, you know, it's quite a bit a ways back and we've already shifted on to the new budget, I won't spend a lot of time here. Certainly happy to answer any questions folks may have to do with the June financials. But it's essentially a snapshot for year end. And probably the easiest place to see this is on page 35. Is a good example of if you look at the orange dotted line, that was our budget, cumulative budget as the year went on, and you can see the massive gap between the sales versus what we were at originally budgeted. And that's pretty much tells the story of last fiscal year, a serious shortfall in revenues. But I think, you know, overall, if you look at our financial situation, I think we've done a really good job adjusting our expenditures to stay in line and manage things within the revenues that we did have. So I'm pretty happy with how all that worked out at the end of the day, considering significant shortfalls in revenue. And then, of course, the one-time expense for the diesel reimbursement was another large unanticipated hit to our budget. So moving along to page 37, that's just our grant summary. I'll just say that we report on this quarterly, so these numbers will more than likely be the same that you saw in the last board packet, and we haven't expended a lot out of that. But as you know, the board approved a contract with McMillan Jacobs Associates to wrap up and finalize some of the hydrosite investigation activities, and I'll update the board on those a little bit later. But that stuff's moving along, and you'll start to see those expenditures hit. I think the way this is going to kind of roll out to that particular contract, we'll leave a little bit left in there for any cleanup work we may have as follow-up work to the hydrosite investigation. But I don't expect a lot to be left there, and the intent there is to fully utilize that before it expires at the end of June 2020.
Who is this grant from, Gray?
DCCED. Thank you. Okay. Department of Economic and Commerce.
Okay.
I used to know that acronym really well, but it's one of those that you have to practice because it's kind of an awkward one. All right. Let's see what else we got here that might be of interest to the board. And we go in and we, of course, have the June financial statements following, starting page 38, and kind of give you a end of the year review there, the finals, I should say. Of course, we provided forecasts for the board, and I think those came out pretty close to what we were forecasting back in June. And July is behind that. Okay. And then that would take us to page 48.